about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You have to do this. It's okay. It's time. I'm ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hello?
Tracy, this is Jack. I have someone here who wants to speak with you.
Tracy, this is Bill Cosby. I want you to come back to the TGS for the people who like the jokes and the things.
Bill Cosby? You got a lot of nerve getting on the phone with me after what you did to my Aunt Paulette.
I think you're confusing me with someone else.
1971, Cincinnati. She was a cocktail waitress with the droopy eye.
I'm the guy with the pudding.
You try to tell me what to do? Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable with your light-ass kid. Jack, why would you make me talk to this man?
And now.
I'll always be there. This is the Plastic Pickle Store. I just want to thank you so much for thinking of me.
Our feature presentation.
We've done so much nonsense that I've forgotten.
Yes.
It's funny all the time when you run into the listeners, they go, oh, I really liked it when, and then you go,
I don't know why I thought of the Vlasic Pickle bit last week, but God bless the Kevin and Bean archive, because I went on there and typed in Vlasic Pickle and boom, there it came up, and I just laughed out loud and I thought, this is ridiculous that this is even happening right now.
Yeah.
The Vlasic Pickle. We talked to the Vlasic Pickle guy from the commercial. Come on. That's not radio.
That's not the worst we've done either.
No. That's a good point.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34. It is Tuesday, the 9th of double December.
You guys may have to... Boy, I hesitate to say this because I'm afraid I'll go deaf from all the cheering. But you guys may have to go on without me. I may have to step
yes!
out.
Yes.
Really? What's happening?
I'm afraid... Well, I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow or the rest of the week or maybe even the rest of the year, depending on how it goes.
What about next year?
I think I might be done.
Yes.
I think I might be done.
Oh, this is the best Christmas gift ever.
I wasn't aware of the impending apocalypse until the new weather video from our friend Frankie up there in Nova Scotia. Now, we heard a little bit of Frankie last week with the rain coming to Southern California, and I feel like he was dead on accurate. I don't feel he oversold that storm. So if the things that come to pass in the storm that's due to hit my neck of the woods today are true, then I'm in a lot of trouble.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old TV station, live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major storm is on its way for Seattle, Washington on Tuesday, December the 9th, 2014. It's going to bring up to 30-plus millimeters of rain in Seattle, Washington. And the winds are going to be real strong in Seattle, Washington. And the surrounding areas, it's going to be a lot of wind-driven rain. It's going to be a ton of rain in Seattle, Washington. And the surrounding areas.
Where?
This may affect Blaine, Washington, and Bellingham, Washington as well.
Okay, so it may affect Blaine, Washington, which is right up there along the Canadian border, and Bellingham, Washington, which is probably about 90 minutes north of where I am. But it sounded pretty bad from Frankie, right?
Yes.
Frankie McDonald, by the way, we'll hear more of the video in a moment, has become an internet sensation. He is 30 years old. He lives in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and he is, like many of my autistic brothers, obsessed with the weather. And he puts up little videos for weather patterns all over the country, all over the continent, I should say. And he's become very popular, and he's, as far as I'm concerned, the only weatherman you need.
He's like your soulmate, though, right? I mean, you watched the Weather Channel.
Well, I love the weather. I do love the weather.
Which is just a weird sentence, but you and he, soul brothers.
Well, Frankie is going to, and apparently that's very common with a certain stripe of person, by the way. He is going to have some suggestions on preparation for the storm and what should be charged and what should be eaten and drank too in a minute here. So here's some more Frankie.
It's going to be a lot of wind driven rain. It's going to be very high winds with a lot of rain. It's going to be big waves crashing along the shores on the west coast of the state of Washington. It's going to bring a lot of very strong winds with a lot of rain, including Olympia, Washington and Tacoma, Washington as well. People in Seattle, Washington, be prepared. Have your rubber boots ready, raincoats ready, raincoats ready, because it's going to be a lot of rain in Seattle, Washington. It's going to bring a lot of puddles in the streets. It's going to be very strong winds. When you go outside, wear your rain gear, wear your rubber boots, wear your raincoats. Don't open up your umbrella or your umbrella could get broken.
Oh, no.
Since a powerful low-pressure system.
Yes, Kevin.
Oh, no. Don't open your umbrella. But it's going to be raining.
I know. I don't know anyone in Seattle who owns an umbrella, by the way. That's the truth. But it's a good warning there because it could be very dangerous if it breaks in your hand. This storm, by the way, is supposed to bring 20-foot waves to Northern California. Near San Francisco, waves of over 20 feet in the rain today.
Surfers,
all right, you guys
happy.
have the strength for any more? Or are you out?
Oh no, I need,
love him.
I need more. I can listen
to him.
It's
going to move towards northwestern United States. It's going to bring a lot of rain in Seattle, Washington, and its surrounding areas. When you go for a walk, don't walk to the puddles. Avoid the puddles when you go for a walk, since winds will be very strong. Order your pizzas and order your Chinese food. Buy cases of Pepsi, buy cases of Coke. Have your iPads charged. Have your iPods charged. Have your cell phones charged. Have your laptops charged. Have your tablets charged. Have your 3G and 4G ready.
By the way,
that's a lot of preparation.
It is, for a little bit of rain, yes. He does make it sound like Godzilla is coming. I mean, he makes it sound like you're not going to be able to leave your house. You're not going to be able to get food. You've got to prepare as if the biggest earthquake that ever hit the continent is on its way.
I have a question for you, Bean, and probably only you can answer this because you're his soul brother. Is he panicked, or is that just his everyday delivery?
I believe that's I believe that's normal.
So he's not panicked.
That's baseline for Frankie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think he's also very excited about the possibility of some real weather. All right, big finish here from Frankie.
Because it's going to be a major storm with a lot of rain and wind starting on Tuesday, December 9th, 2014, in Seattle, Washington, and the surrounding areas. Best luck, you people in Seattle, Washington. Be prepared for a major storm on Tuesday.
Right.
Take care. Stay safe. Don't get caught in a major storm. Stay dry and be safe. Make sure to drink lots of green tea, white tea, red tea. Drink lots of green tea to keep you warm. Be safe and stay safe.
What is red tea, Lisa?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I need to get some.
I feel like
some now.
Yeah. I feel like we should all have red tea.
So, guys, if the broadcast goes down, at least you know what happened.
If the broadcast goes down, there is a God, and he answers prayers.
All right. How dare you?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Or let's take a day trip to Santa Barbara, me and you. Let's hit up some charming shops. Let's buy some antiques.
Even a better idea. Adam Carolla will be on the program with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
Tell you what he hates about Christmas. I imagine. Royal Blood will be on the show today.
Oh, I love them so much. I love them so much.
When's that rain start?
How dare you.
Say it. Lily Aldridge, Victoria's Secret supermodel. Talking about the episode that airs tonight on CBS, the best damn show of the year, let's be honest.
I just fast forward through the models to get to Taylor Swift, though, every year.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
He's serious.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Pizza!
Right?
Pizza!
Right.
Pizza!
Right.
Pizza!
Right.
Pizza!
Right. And we have your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We have some in the 6 o'clock hour coming up as well.
Wow.
Oh. So keep listening. We'll give you those. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Tuesday morning here on K-Rock. Thanks for tuning in. Ralph Garman steps in for his first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Just saying, why would anyone choose that look? Why would anyone want to look like that?
Like Muggs?
Why would they say, oh, you know Chumlee from Pawn Stars? Yes, that's a look I'd like to emulate. I want his look.
You had a full beard, right?
Yeah.
Or was it just a goat?
Well, no, I had a full beard, and I burnt off the middle of my mustache this weekend.
How do you burn it off?
Smoking pot.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so... You're a dumbass.
Oh my God.
Beyond that, once that happens, they say, okay, well, I'll just shave then. I'm not going to just go with the weird Abraham Lincoln beard and just look like Chumlee from Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
With my voluminous girth and my weird beard. My King Tut-like beard.
We're going to try something new.
Well, it failed.
I like it. Keep it. Good work.
Speaking of something new, how about this? Exciting news. Can't get enough of the early days reboot comic book shows now.
The early days reboot comic shows.
Yeah. you know, comic book stories where they take you back before.
Before Batman, Gotham City was filled with people who would eventually turn into characters that you would care about. But now there are people who just vaguely sort of remember those people, but still, it's Gotham.
And then, of course, Flash and Green Arrow. Smallville kicked it all up.
Yeah. Before he was Superman, he was a guy who lived on a farm. What about those days? Well, here we go. Superman in a flannel shirt. It is Smallville.
You should be that announcer.
Well, now they're really going back. You thought Smallville was going back. No, they're going further back.
Before he came to Earth, he was on another planet called Krypton.
Oh, no.
When he was just a baby. And then his father, Jor-El, was a scientist. But let's talk about Jor-El's father.
Really? A series based on Superman's grandfather on his home planet of Krypton, years before the planet's destruction, is in the works.
Wait, can we vote on that?
Nope. Krypton! Anyone? Is this thing on?
But on Krypton, nobody has superpowers or anything, right?
Nope. They're just people living on
another planet. That's going to be cool.
But that planet someday, sure going to blow up and send that kid in a rocket ship to Earth.
Good times.
There is no comic book premise now that is not viable. If you walk in any student and say, this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this one does seem like the biggest stretch ever.
Yep. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Ah, tragic news. Tragic news. Pugsley's dead. Ah, Pugsley. We loved you, Pugsley.
That was Adam's Family?
Yeah, he was the kid on the Adam's Family. Yeah.
Kevin, did you say Adam's Family or did you say Adam Sandler?
No, I said Family. Okay. I think.
Even Kevin wouldn't have said the Adam Sandler.
All right, I was just confused.
The Adam's Family was a TV series about a family that was, they were ooky. I know that much. They were spooky. They were altogether kooky. Their house was a museum where people went to see them.
Yeah.
They really were a scream. The Addams Family.
Those are the lyrics.
What happened to Pugsley?
That's a terrible
59 years old, passed away of a heart attack, died in his sleep Sunday morning.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, Lisa, you're mean.
That's rude.
That is rude.
You're right, I'm sorry. 59's too young for that.
Pugsley, of course, was the brother of Wednesday Addams, played by Lisa Loring. Now there's just three cast members left. John Astin, who played Gomez Addams. Lisa Loring, as I mentioned, played Wednesday, and Felix Silla, who played Cousin It, the little hairy guy with the hat. He was Beer Mug before Beer Mug was around.
I want to see Cousin It's backstory of his grandfather.
Before Cousin It came to live with the Addams Family, he lived in It Town.
How old must John Astin be by now?
John Astin, I'm glad you asked, Bean. 84 years old, John Astin is.
Because I felt like he was a grown-ass man when the show was made 40 years ago, and the boy who played his little tiny son just died.
Yeah, and Ken Weatherwax was his name. 59 years old, passed away, so. Gomez is still with us, though.
Love him.
Are you familiar with Love Magazine?
No.
It's a UK magazine. They are doing a video advent calendar.
You know, that's interesting.
Advent calendar is, for those who are not familiar, it's a countdown calendar to Christmas. And you open up the little door behind each day, and there's a little treat in there or a little story or something. There's different kinds of them, but that's what primarily they are. This is a video advent calendar featuring all models.
All right.
So you go down and you see the new video for the day, and it's some sexy model dancing to some Christmas song or something. It's very entertaining. This week, everyone was surprised when Kendall Jenner was the star of one of the little vignettes. The 19-year-old Kardashian half-sister is in a lacy bra and panties and getting spanked by a shirtless Santa Claus.
She is turning into Kim right before our eyes.
She's trying. She's desperately trying.
And then the second half of that is going to be a sex tape?
No, maybe.
With Santa?
Yeah. Santa, I can't say that.
Yeah, no.
This, of course, just comes weeks after Kim posing naked. And then Kourtney Kardashian also posed nude with her pregnant body in Du Jour magazine. So the Kardashian / Kendall girls want everyone to know they still have vaginas, in case anyone was curious. They still are humping.
All right.
Hey, and speaking of sexy videos, remember Sarah X? She was the girl who made her boobs dance.
Oh, sure. Oh, right. Yeah.
It was a big phenomenon.
Yeah.
They called it boob twerking, I believe, is what her actual gift is known as. She's got a Christmas video out. You can watch it online. She makes the girls dance to Jingle Bells.
Well, that seems like it's great.
It's festive. It is very festive. They go... They're all bouncing around. It's very entertaining.
It's very talented.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Simon Helberg is 34 years old today. Trey Cool from Green Day is 42. Singer Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers. And, of course, his own solo career is 45. Actress Felicity Huffman is 52. John Malkovich turns 61. And Dame Judi Dench, one of the greats. Of course, she was M in the Bond series for a long time. She is 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla on the program today with This Week in Rage. Victoria's Secret supermodel Lily Aldridge joins us. And we're starting our top five countdowns of the year. You know how we do that with the top five moments with and beer mug interview questions and whatnot. We got a new category for you that we're going to debut in just a couple of minutes. First, though, how about some tickets to the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas show this Saturday night at the Forum? These tickets are on the floor to see Bush, Fall Out Boy, Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, System of a Down, and Walk the Moon with a game we like to call Wheel of Celebrity Voices.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities.
Voices.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Voices.
Well, it's new. I can see why.
Or the Wheel of Celebrities.
You wouldn't know the name of it.
How's this one work, Kevin?
Well, we're going to have, we have a wheel.
Hold on.
What's on that wheel? Celebrities or celebrity voices?
There are celebrities
on
the wheel.
Did you know that we were doing the game?
Yeah.
They should have had the wheel near you?
Very aware of it, yes. Okay. A little sidetracked because I've been listening to Beer Mug's interviews in the next room, and I got to tell you, we're going to have to hold off on that top 10 because he's going to hit probably six of them.
Oh, my God.
This morning.
That's awesome.
Can't wait. So, yeah, we got wheel. It has Bean. It has Homer Simpson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Pacino, Party Bus Kevin, Christopher Walken, Pat O'Brien, Vin Diesel, William Shatner, and Mumford.
Wow, okay.
So and they're all next door, right? All the celebrities are
correct.
Next door.
They're all out next door. I was going to say outside. They're next door. And we spin the wheel, and they read you some lyrics, and then you have to tell us the name of the band and the name of the song.
Hall of Fame.
Just saying. Why do I feel like Ralph is going to be saying that a lot in the years to come?
Just saying. All right. Hall of Fame.
Let's meet our first contestant. This is going to be our man, George. He's right down the street in Culver City. He's going to attempt to win some tickets here. Hey, George, welcome, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, not so good, actually.
Not
we're a little
so
rusty,
good, thank you.
Apparently. All right, so Kevin is going to spin the wheel. Let's find out what celebrity is going to be reading lyrics for you, and then you come up with title and artist, please.
We need both the band and the song title. Oh, it's Party Bus Kevin.
Oh!
Oh, lucky me.
Oh, look, you're so lucky. Stupid, absurd, lucky guy.
All right, Party Bus Kevin, you've got some lyrics ahead of you, in front of you, rather, for a band and a song on night number one. Let's hear it.
Hold on. Slow down. Again from the top now and tell me everything. I know I've been gone for what seems like forever, but I'm here now waiting.
Oh, man, I have no idea. I'm blanking right now.
That would be Rise Against, Ready to Fall.
Hold on, slow down again from the top.
Oh. Thanks for playing, though, George.
Sorry for Justin. It's a granola bar. I had a granola bar.
All right, Party Bus.
As a matter of fact, I have had a granola bar.
We are going to go to Shy from Reseda. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. All right, you ready for your lyrics?
Yes, I am.
All right. Oh, look, it landed on Bean, my partner.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Hi, Bean.
Hi, Bean.
All right, let's hear your song.
Am I more than you bargained for yet? I've been dying to tell you. Anything you want to hear. Because that's just who I am this week.
Fall Out Boy, Sugar, We're Going Down.
Nicely done.
That
is very impressive.
So good.
Congratulations. Please hold on.
All right. Let's go to Alex in Lakewood. Hi, Alex.
Hey. Good morning, party people.
Good morning, Alex.
Hey.
How many guys are on the phone?
I don't know. Is it just one, Alex?
Yes.
Okay.
I just have multiple personalities.
All right.
That's what it sounds like. Oh, boy. Here we go.
This is not good, right? Oh, you get Al Pacino. You're lucky. Ow.
Oh. That's Alex. I don't trust him.
Shaky, right?
Shaky.
Yeah.
Wake up! Grab a brush. What?
Stop suing.
All right. By which band?
System of a Down.
Wake up! Wake up! Sorry, Al. Kind of cut you off the knees there.
That makes it easy. I'm going to go take a nap.
You sort of got up for nothing, huh?
Wow.
All the way down here.
All you said was wake up.
All right. All right. Alex is in the drawing. Who's up next?
Alex in Corona.
A different Alex. Okay, fantastic.
Hi, Alex. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sit in the wheel. And you get Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I
got to tell you, they get from the other room to this studio really quickly.
Well, I'm incredibly fit fitness. I can just, you know, run here and be here in a matter of seconds.
You threw Al right out the door, though, as he was.
Well, he's so light. You know, I bench press, you know, so much. Right. I can do for anything, he's so light for me.
All right, Alex, identify this artist and song.
It must be your skin I'm sinking in. Must be for real, because now I can feel. And I didn't mind. It's not my kind. It's not my time to wonder why.
I don't know.
All right. Bush, glycerin.
Yeah.
Sorry,
glycerin Arnold. Is what I would slather all over my body before a bodybuilding competition.
Right.
So that my muscles would shine in the lights.
All right, Arnold, you got to go.
Some would use baby oil, but I would use glycerin.
Okay. Jason in Hollywood, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank
hi,
you.
Hi, Jason.
Welcome to the...
Hi, Jason, how are you?
Arnold, you need to leave because
I don't want to leave. I'm having a good time here.
I have to spin the wheel again on whoever it lands on.
All right, I'll leave, but I'll be back.
Okay. Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
How about that?
Goodness, Arnold. Leave already. So annoying.
Hey, before we get into the game here,
yes.
Any thoughts on how Peter Pan went the other night, Chris?
I'd say it could have gone better.
Yeah. You didn't seem really all
great.
Into it. Yeah.
I'm not much of a song and dance man.
But I thought you considered yourself a song and dance man.
I know, I did for a long time.
Okay.
I have no idea why.
Maybe time to hang that up.
No real talent in those areas. I should stop calling myself that.
Jason,
it was that Fat Boy Slim video.
It was.
That was the one. That's
I
the
danced
one
everywhere.
Right. That was a good video, too.
Made me think I could.
Yeah. It was 20 years ago.
It was Hollywood trickery.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen. Christopher Walken is here. Please listen up. He's going to do a song. Tell us what title and artist it is, Jason. Good luck.
Tonight we drink to youth and holding fast the truth. I don't want to lose what I had as a boy, but my heart still has a beat, but love is now a feat as common as a cold day in L.A.
Artist song title.
Is that a Linkin Park song?
No, I'm sorry. That's Incubus.
Tonight we drink to you.
It hurts. I'm sorry to say,
sorry.
Mr. Walken, we're out of time. We're going to have to say goodbye to you and give away some tickets for night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It is sold out, but floor seats for either Shy or Alex. Lisa May, who's our winner?
It's Alex G.
Yeah! Alex G.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Congratulations,
yes.
Alex.
Oh, my God.
Tickets for night one on the floor.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. We'll see you Saturday.
We love celebrities. We love celebrities.
I always like at the end of the year where we start looking back and counting down our top 10 lists. I, in particular, look forward to the top 10 beer mug interview moments. But
there's going to be some new ones today.
So I understand.
Just bring that up.
Top 10 internet roundup videos. We do, we're doing Omar intros. Those were always a lot of fun. Moments with, always a lot of fun. But we had such a great year with people visiting the Kevin and Bean Show and performing live on our show that we thought it might be fun to kind of look back on some of our favorite performances of the year. Now, we're only going to do a top five on this one for time's sake so that we get a chance to actually play some of the music that they recorded. But, man, isn't it great, Kevin? Isn't it one of our favorite things about this job when we get musicians who come in and perform live for us?
Yeah, it really is. And it sort of bums us out because they're all miserable because it's so early.
early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the opposite of their schedule, but they usually come in and just nail it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're usually performing 12 to 14 hours before when they normally have to play musical instruments and sing. But we had some great ones this year. When Arctic Monkeys were in town for a couple of sold out nights at the Forum back
in top five. Live performances. Kevin DeBean.
Arctic Monkeys was at the Forum. They stopped by the Kevin DeBean show. Just a couple of guys from the band with acoustic guitars. And the thing I remember about this appearance is it was one of those like behind the scenes cluster Fs where nobody could hear anything and the sound wasn't coming through properly. And they had to take their headphones off because we were too loud. I mean, it was one of those things like you can't believe they were able to put such a great performance out based on how chaotic it was.
It was more than he had to take his headphones off. He threw them across the room.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because if he didn't, his ears would bleed.
Exactly. It was that type of thing. But still, they put in a great performance and an acoustic version of their big K-Rock song, Do I Want to Know.
Crawling back to you. If this feeling flows both ways. We sort of hoping that you'd stay. That the nights were mainly made for saying things that you can't say tomorrow day. Do I want to know? Too busy being yours to fall.
When they strip it down, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, too. And one of the things you can always tell about a good song is it doesn't need all the studio trickery to sound good. They can just bring it down to, you know, acoustic guitar and voice, and it still sounds great. And that's what the Arctic Monkeys did there at number five.
Number four!
We had a couple of great Breakfast With in the Red Bull Sound Space, one of the biggest bands in the world, crammed onto a tiny little stage. And when I mean big, I mean not only popular, but there's like 11 of them in the band. I'm talking about Arcade Fire. Back in August, they did this performance for us. This was their song, Reflector.
We fell in love when I was 19.
How fun were they, by the way?
They were awesome.
It was a dance party.
Yeah, and the stage is so small that
there were so many of them.
They were literally like on each other's shoulders just to try and fit.
What number are we up to, Kevin?
Number three.
How about
three.
Breakfast with Jack
the
White?
The third best.
How about Breakfast with Jack White? What do you remember about that day also in the Red Bull Sound Space back in June?
I the same memory that I have every time I see him play, which is, how does basically one person do all that?
Yeah.
It's insane.
He's incredible. And, he's not an easy interview to get, and we really appreciated him coming in and giving us that much time because he is a fascinating guy. I mean, he is just layer upon layer. I mean, you can talk to this guy about anything, and he's just so interesting and such a brilliant musician. I mean, yeah, really, he is one of the most exciting people making music today. Number three on our list of the top five live performances of 2014 on the Kevin DeBean Show was Jack White doing Lazaretto.
We were in the dressing room. It was either before or after, and he had his iPhone and a wine glass.
Yes, that's right.
An empty wine glass. And Bean was talking to him, and I just couldn't stop focusing on why his phone was in a wine glass. He was playing music. And he said it really makes it so much louder. And he took it out, and it disappeared.
Yep, it amplifies it. By the way, I have done that at home
a
million times since Jack White taught us that trick. It's brilliant. I mean, it just turns it into a giant speaker. It's something else we learned that day. A lot of fun.
I was like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you have your phone in a wine glass for a reason?
Number two on our countdown of the top five live was Tove Lo, who came who just blew us away with how sweet she was and how smart she was and how nice she was. Yeah. And talk about talent. We played her song Habits a million times on K-Rock this year. And you're not going to believe this isn't the record that you downloaded because it sounds exactly the same in person. That's how perfect she and her band were. Listen to this. This is Habits number two.
Doesn't make me nervous if anything. I'm restless. Yeah, I've been around and I've seen it all. I get home, I got the munchies. Binge on all my Twinkies. Throw up in the tub and I go to sleep. And I drink up all my money. Days and kind of lonely. You're gone and I gotta stay high all the time to keep you off my mind.
Remember she said she was going to or just came back from Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her if she gambled, and she said, oh, no. And I said, why not? And she said, party. Not like because I like to or anything else, just party.
Just party. Yeah. She was awesome. That is Habits. And number one of all the live performances
number
we had on the
Kevin.
This guy.
This guy.
This guy. This guy. This guy.
All right, this is getting out of control now.
Out of control.
This guy melted some hearts when he came in because he's very, very pretty to look at. He's got that Irish accent. He is soulful and deep and thoughtful, and he took us to church with this performance. His name is Hozier at number one.
Damn you for saying that.
Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lies. I'll tell you my sins, and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me.
So if you go to KevinandBean.com, you can see video of all of those performances, except for Jack White, who just gave us permission for audio. So that
He can't be photographed. Did you know that? He doesn't show up on film.
But the Arctic Monkeys, Breakfast with Arcade Fire, Tove Lo, and Hozier, all video are up right now at KevinandBean.com.
Awesome.
Pretty cool. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Talk about the Victoria's Secret CBS TV special on tonight with supermodel Lily Aldridge coming up. By the way, she's married to that dude from Kings of Leon, right?
Yes.
That's
true. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's the one. Yep. So we got her coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
So you can bring up Kings of Leon.
Right.
But we're saying do not bring up any other musical performers
ground
during
rules,
that
right?
Interview.
We need ground rules for this interview.
Ground
we
rules
can't
must
mention
be laid.
The great Ed Sheeran who performs on the show tonight?
Sure.
We'll give you that one.
Just but only
so
once.
Then
only one performance,
done. Then we're done.
Stuff.
Then we're done.
That's it.
Now you're done.
Just that one
trying
performance.
Trying to think if there's anyone else that she's best friends with that might also have been on the show tonight.
Listen. Damn you, listen. This interview is not going to be about Taylor Swift. It's not.
We'll
do you understand?
That. We'll see about that.
I would hate for your line to disconnect.
Because sometimes that happens.
It does happen.
You know, up there on the island, they have some shaky telecommunication wiring. So it could just, boom, it could just drop. You don't know.
All right. See how it goes. About to the top of the hour.
Freaking Taylor Swift. By the way, there's a rumor, there's a chance that Taylor Swift could be named the Time Magazine Person of the Year for 2014.
I saw that.
When they do their year-end cover.
They should just kill themselves.
I'm telling you, if that happens, I'm going to burn this mother down.
Wait, this radio station?
The city.
Oh, the city, okay.
I'm going to, if Taylor Swift ends up the Person of the Year on Time Magazine?
Yeah, agreed.
I'm going to make Ferguson look like a picnic. That's all I'm telling you.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Good point, sir.
S is going to go down.
I'm with you.
Other potential people of the year for Time Magazine. Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL. Vladimir Putin, Russian president. Ebola.
What?
Really?
For the person of the year?
Yeah.
Odd.
The Ferguson protesters. There's a lot of potential names out there.
Time's going bye-bye. Taylor Swift's not starting to look like the crazy choice anymore after the rest of that list.
Godzilla?
I don't
know.
I'm not sure Godzilla's on the list.
However, they are talking about making another Godzilla movie. This time, though, it's going to come from Toho Studios, the original studio in Japan that made the original Godzilla films.
Okay.
They haven't made a Godzilla film in years, but the success of the U.S. version, which made $500 million this past year, was enough to make them reconsider, so they are putting out a movie in 2016 called Godzilla Final Wars. If this is the case, the Japanese version will be out 2 years before the American sequel to their Godzilla movie in 2018. So we could have two Godzilla films within a span of four years, which would be good.
You're talking about 2016 and 2018.
That's right.
Well, don't
you
do
heard
that.
Me.
That's a good sound, isn't
it? Made him angry. You don't want to
what
make him angry.
What did you guys think of that last Godzilla movie with Bryan Cranston?
I really enjoyed it.
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done.
There wasn't as much Godzilla in it as I would have liked.
But that's sort of the premise of the Godzilla films. It's mostly about the people reacting to the horror of what's going on.
I liked it.
Certainly was that way in the original, too. But I thought it was real good.
Not moving to San Francisco, I'll tell you that right
that
now.
That did not look good.
Nope.
I tell you, I also did not enjoy watching it on a plane on the way to Hawaii as you watched the island of Oahu being washed away by a tsunami caused by giant monsters. That wasn't reassuring.
Yeah, that didn't feel so good. That they would allow that on that flight.
Yeah, maybe they should watch what movies they show.
Maybe they should.
A little more closely.
Hey, look at that. People are running away from the giant waves in Hawaii. It's a little unsettling. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Simon Helberg, you know him from that show with those guys?
Right, that's the one.
And
on, yeah.
Those women that talk. Remember they talk?
With the guys and the women.
Right, they talk to each other.
Right.
The one that's on TV.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one. We all know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Big Bang Theory.
Yes, Big Bang Theory.
34 years old. Trey Cool, drummer for Green Day, is 42. Jacob Dylan, a talented singer-songwriter in his own right, but of course the son of Bob Dylan, 45 years old. Felicity Huffman, very talented actress, married to the equally talented William H. Macy, 52 years old. John Malkovich is 61. And Dame Judi Dench, one of the greats, 80 years old today.
Just move on. Move on.
I'm impressed that Bean is showing some restraint.
I know. I'm saying
not
move on.
Giving her a bow. Well,
you know, 80 is my sweet spot.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the shows.
Victoria's Secret Fashion Show 2014 is on CBS tonight at 10 o'clock. It's on in over 200 countries, by the way, Kevin. Can you believe that?
I'm surprised it's not in all others.
It should be required.
Yeah.
A while ago, Lily Aldridge, who's on the phone, did an interview and they asked her, hey, Lily, if you weren't a model, what would you like to do? What would the job be that you would want to have? And she said, be a K-Rock DJ. And I'm here to ask, what's the holdup here, Lily? Why has that not happened yet? What do we have to do to get that to happen?
I'm trying to make it happen. You guys are hard to get into.
How is that possible? We would open our doors to you today.
I've been trying for years.
You could replace me. You could replace Bean. Anything
Lisa,
you want.
Lisa, Beer Bug, whatever job you want, Lily. It's yours.
Maybe I can be like, I'll go get you guys coffee.
Yeah, no, I think I'd be wasting your considerable talents.
I do too. Now, you were here. You were actually, I wasn't in the building, but you were when Kings Leon played in the Red Bull Sound Space earlier this year. You swung by K-Rock, right?
Yes, and I was so starstruck. My husband is like, what is wrong with you? I don't understand. This is K-Rock.
But you saw what a dump it is, right, Lily? I mean, it must have shattered your illusions when you showed up.
Not even close. It was better than I ever imagined.
You didn't touch anything, did you? Because that's a disaster. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
All right. So will you come by and see us some morning?
I would love to. That would be too exciting.
How about today?
Let me just get on a plane.
Okay.
All right. Hey, where are you right now, by the way, Lily?
I am in New York City. The fashion show's tonight, so we're just running around New York getting ready. It's very exciting.
It is exciting, and I know you've been doing a lot of press since the thing taped. Why do they tape the show? Is it too intricate a presentation to put on live? Is there really too much danger to put it on live?
I think, well, we tape it twice. We taped in London this year, and yeah, there's so much happening. There's choreography and the timing of the girls and singers and wings and lingerie.
Paramedics.
Yeah, speaking of wings and paramedics, were you on stage when Ariana Grande almost bit it by getting hit in the face with a wing?
I wasn't. I didn't even know it happened. I was in the back changing, but I thought wings are dangerous. They're big. You gotta be ready when you're on that runway for anything.
But if I could pick, I mean, that's one of the ways I'd like to go.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I do feel like all of us at one time in our lives have made a mistake with a Halloween costume idea that turned out to be big and bulky, the kind of thing that you have to turn sideways to go through a door or you hit your head or, you know,
exactly.
And I suspect that's what it's like when you have girls with wings on stages. You kind of don't know what you're going to hit as you turn, right?
That is totally true. One time a performer walked straight into my wings, and all I heard was like this thud. And I just kept going. I was like, oh, sorry, girl. And in the lineup, we're all hitting each other. I mean, they're big and amazing, but they're dangerous.
My complaint is that I don't see that clothing in real life, and I would like to.
Well, what do you mean?
I think more people should wear wings and all the kind of stuff that you're going to be shown in tonight.
Well, I will send you some wings.
Okay. All right.
All right. Here's another question I have for you. And Lily Aldridge is on the phone. We're talking about Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, which is going to be tonight at 10 on CBS. I heard you say the other day that they don't hire Victoria's Secret models for their looks. They hire them on a show like this because you're the type of people who can show your personality on stage. That's what you're strutting up there. Explain how that works.
Well, I mean, beauty can only take you so far, especially for something like this. Like, they really do want girls. I mean, I've seen the most beautiful girls in the world where I'm like, it is a no-brainer. She's getting it, and then they don't get it. And it's because they want to see girls with personality and showing, you know, being happy. A lot of girls aren't used to doing that. Most runway shows, you're just, like, walking, and no one cares. And, you know, they're like, don't smile. And VS is completely the opposite. So they just want to see girls that are healthy and happy and having fun and happy to be there. And
so you're kind of acting. I mean, you're kind of acting a little bit. You're projecting whatever that internal monologue is. You're trying to get that to come across to the home viewer.
Exactly. What? I don't even remember what happens. I'm just like on another planet. And then I come back. I'm like, did I do okay?
Why do they tell women not to smile? That's always odd to me.
Well, just in fashion, most like runway shows, you know, it's about the clothes and it's more serious, you know, like fashion and VS, it's all about smiling and being happy and the personality and, you know, letting your gorgeous personality shine.
And taking people out.
And can we just say this, and I know there's an awful lot that gets said in the media about fashion and about models and about women and about weight. God bless Victoria's Secret models for looking like real people. You know what I mean? I mean, gorgeous, thin, real people, but not crazy, emaciated models like you see on so many of those fashion shows, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Victoria's Secret is all about, you know, being healthy. And if anything, like, we put pressure, you know, to be toned because we want to look good on the runway. But I have to eat so much protein. I have to eat so much to not get too skinny because we're working out so much. It's really, you know, a delicate balance.
All right.
And then when the show's over, I'm back to beer and pizzas.
Yeah, you're gaining that 2 pounds back?
By the way, you live in Nashville, one of my favorite cities of the world. It's not easy to eat well in Nashville. All the food there seems like it's meant to make you fat.
I know. I mean, you know, what can you do? It's fine.
Exactly. All right. Next question for you, Lily. How is it that, unless you guys are all incredible actresses, how is it that all of you models seem to be best friends and get along so well? I would think, and maybe this is just a stereotype, but I would think that it would be very competitive and you guys would be trying to win.
It's not, because honestly, something like Victoria's Secret, like, I know they hired me because of my personality, and we all have such different personalities, and you can't take that away. Like, no one else is going to be me, you know what I mean? So we're so close. We're going through this together. Like, they're my best friends. They're always, you know, we went to London together. We had a hotel. They're all, like, having slumber parties.
Why am I never at that hotel?
You should have been.
That's insane.
Caleb was there. He was very happy to be on the same floor with all the angels.
And will you just lie to us and just admit that there are pillow fights?
There are pillow fights.
Yeah. There's got to be. That's right, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest human being on earth, Lily Aldridge.
In your underwear. There does have to be someone you hate, though. Who's that?
No one.
Okay.
No one.
All right.
We're
listen, they're telling us they got to pull you off. You're out of time, but you owe us a visit, Lily.
I will come. I'm so excited. You don't even know. You'll have to kick me out of the studio.
We can't wait. Thank you so much. We always enjoy having you on the program. Don't forget, Victoria's Secret Fashion Show airs tonight on CBS at 10 o'clock. Lily, we love you. Thanks.
Love you guys. Bye.
You're going to be okay, Kevin, after tonight when Sons of Anarchy is no longer a thing?
Right into this world.
Not sure, man.
It is your favorite show of all time, right?
It's Walking Dead, I think. Yeah.
You are an actor, and when you act on a motorcycle, it's just amazing. Your face looks like there's bugs hitting it. How do you do that?
Sons of Anarchy has been on for 7 years. Tonight is the series finale. Kevin, you're not doing an Anarchy afterward, though.
We're not
going to hear Trek Dart Kevin.
No, I'm happy. Listen, I was super happy to be a part of it, and happy that I don't have the pressure of I don't want to ruin somebody else's show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can embarrass myself and do on a daily basis, but that's me embarrassing me.
Right.
That just
makes K-Rock look bad. You don't want to make Sons of Anarchy
look
bad.
Why'd you put that book out then if you didn't want to ruin it?
Oh, how dare you.
Why did you do that?
So now, having said all that, Beer Mug is not afraid of embarrassing Sons of Anarchy.
Nope. Well, here's the weird thing. And
I have skills.
I'm not sure how this happened, but somehow Beer Mug told one of the cast members to call.
Yeah.
A couple days ago? When was it?
Yeah, last week. I heard through a friend of a friend of a friend that he wanted to come onto the show.
Wait, you heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend?
Oh.
Who heard it from a friend that he wanted to come on the show?
File. And so.
Okay, so you went and told Dave, the King of Mexico, and we put it through and we all voted like we do with every other guest?
Oh, no. Why would he use that process, Kevin?
No,
you do, Beer Mug.
Open invitation. Call anytime.
So I used those friendly resources and I got his telephone number.
Right.
And I called
him. Actually, you gave him this phone number.
Right, but
Don't write me like, oh, let's skip over that. You gave him the studio phone number, said call anytime, and he called.
And he called.
In the middle of a show.
Right.
Yes.
Now,
that's why we don't do it that way.
Right. That's why you don't
so we have these random people calling in the middle of the radio show.
It's not that we wouldn't talk to him. It's that we couldn't talk to him anytime you told him to call. Why would you do that?
Well, I didn't tell him to call during there was some miscommunication.
Open invitation. Call anytime.
No. So I set it up, and I set up a post-show interview.
Right.
That we did about an hour after the show.
And we were gone, and so Beer Mug, we said, you interview him. Poor bastard. He didn't know what he was in for. This is David Labrada, who plays Happy on the show. And this is the beginning of Beer Mug's destruction.
Good morning.
Is David there?
Good morning.
How you doing, David Labrada?
Hello.
How's it going, man? It's Beer Mug. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Test. Hold on one sec. David, can you hear me? David, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I do.
Beautiful.
How are you?
Good, man. How's everything going?
Very well.
Awesome. All right. Great. Fantastic. Just hope it doesn't, hope Los Angeles doesn't wash away.
Oh. Who am I speaking to?
This is Beer Mug.
Best interview ever so far?
Oh, man.
Yes. Beer Mug should be doing all of our interviews.
As long as you start with a weather chunk, you're in good shape.
How does David Labrada, when he calls, how do you not let him know who it is? Like, how does he not know who he's talking to? He's still confused about who he's talking to. He doesn't know who Beer Mug is.
I thought I made it clear.
By saying, it's Beer Mug?
Well, let's continue.
Shouldn't you say, I work for K-Rock, and this is Beer Mug, and I'm one of the guys on the morning show?
Why don't you just throw out Beer Mug like he knows
that's
everything?
That's semantics.
And by the way, before you go on, and I think we're going to have to take a break, but
I know,
because I know there's a lot more we want to hear, but I also love this about Muggs, is that he does all of his technical work of getting the phone line going with the guest on the air.
Yeah, that's good.
He's doing the interview while he's checking out all the equipment instead of, I don't know, setting up ahead of time, testing it before the call is made like we do.
I'm going to play one more. Can I play one more clip before we break?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Right. How are you, sir?
Good man. Met you outside TM set.
Is this Bean from Kevin and Bean that I'm talking to, or no, this is another guy?
This is Beer Mug. That's my on-air name. My real name's Johnny. You're talking to Beer Mug.
Is Beer Mug Bean?
No, Bean is Bean, Kevin is Kevin, and Beer Mug is Beer Mug.
Guy.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, so that happens. So.
Oh, my God.
I think it's good that you try to confuse him by also telling him your real name is Johnny, too.
Yeah,
like that's going
like
to make sense to
enough.
Him. Why?
How disappointed is Happy, by the way?
You love this show, right? You watched it all seven
love
seasons.
It.
Why wouldn't you try to clarify any of that with him or let him know who he's talking to? I feel terrible that this guy called it and got the treatment of Mugs.
I was nervous. I wasn't really thinking.
Hmm. All right. Well, we have a lot more.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
And it does not get better. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
The series finale of one of the best shows on television, Sons of Anarchy, tonight on FX. In tribute to that, we are presenting, I think, maybe the greatest, most in-depth, detailed interview about the show that I think I've ever heard. On one end of the phone, you've got our own beer mug. On the other end of the phone, you've got actor David LaBrava. He plays Happy on the show. He's a member of the Sons. And where are we so far? How would you recap for folks just tuning in, Kevin?
Poor David called and has no idea who he's talking to after 2 minutes of speaking with Beer Mug.
Okay. But there has been plenty of chit-chat about the weather.
Yes, that has happened. Yeah. And then they continue.
I'll ask you some questions
I'm
about...
I'm sure you have your questions lined up, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna try to flow it. I'm going to try to wing it. Let's see how this goes. Sons of Anarchy, as it winds up here, it is getting intense. It is, it's gotten intense, and... let me tell you, I have...
Now, here's the thing. The guest...
Well, I know it's intense.
The guest says, you have your questions lined up, right? And Muggs says, no, I'm just going to flow it.
Yeah. You know, I'll flow it.
What? You're the one that told him to call. Why would you not have... By the way, you haven't asked a single question yet.
But he's
not
told
one.
Us it's getting intense.
Not one.
Oh, Sons of Anarchy is getting intense. Well, there's some news.
I don't watch very many television shows, David, but I have been on board with Sons since day one.
How is it already about you? How is it about how many TV shows you watch and whether you're on board with Sons of Anarchy or not? How
still
is
no
this?
Questions.
Why is this a subject of conversation?
I thought he would like to know that.
And why isn't there a question in there anywhere? He's just saying that.
Why do we know more about your viewing habits than we do about this guy who's on the TV show?
And I'm sure you
know what? Me too.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get a lot of rabid fans coming up to you since you started, because you were in the pilot episode, and you had speaking lines.
As opposed to what kind of lines?
And wait, is that a question? Are you asking him if he was in the pilot, or do you know he's in the pilot?
No, I know he's in the pilot.
All right, so you're telling him he was in the pilot?
Yes. I'm recapping.
You're recapping his career to him?
For the listening.
He didn't know that he was in the pilot?
For the listening audience.
From 7 seasons ago, and he's got a speaking line.
He's got some speaking lines.
Yeah. And then, I always love it when Muggs starts a sentence with myself, or, you know, close to the beginning.
You know what? Myself, David, I've never ridden a motorcycle. I've
Now, come on now.
We're talking about you and whether you've been on a motorcycle or not.
He's on.
Hey guys, I wasn't prepared for this interview.
Then don't tell people to call in, you ass.
I thought I would be prepared. I didn't really have enough time.
Don't flow it. Don't flow it next time.
I didn't have enough time to really set up.
But listen, you're a huge fan of the show.
I know.
Nothing can come to you. You're nothing. There's nothing.
There's one question.
Something you would like to know as a fan of the show about the show?
You would think.
Nothing?
No, beer mugs ask questions mainly about beer mug. That's what happens.
You know what? Myself, David, I've never ridden a motorcycle. I've been lucky enough to be on to ridden a quad in the sand.
God.
But
well, he's ridden a quad in the sand. Well, that's basically the same thing.
Wait till you're talking to someone from Sons of the Desert, a different show about sand dunes and quads. You enormous ass.
Been lucky enough to be on to ridden a quad in the sand, but I don't know. I would be too much of a pussy to ride in L.A. because I'd be nervous that somebody just cut me off while I'm splitting lanes. You know? Do you run into that a lot?
No.
That is that is fantastic, man. And it comes in handy with, like you said, L.A. traffic. And
by the way, you said that. He didn't say that.
He hasn't said anything.
You're the one that said you're too much of a pussy to ride in L.A. He didn't say anything about it.
You're a pro, but do you recommend me if I wanted to just start up and learn and try to, you know, test my skills at riding a motorcycle?
How did this become about whether you should ride a motorcycle or not?
Are there any questions about Sons of Anarchy?
You know, the show's going off the air, right? One of those popular shows on television, it's doing its finale.
The finale is tonight.
It's a big story of interest, the show.
Why are we asking him whether you should ride a motorcycle?
Why are we getting riding tips for beer mug?
This is what happens when...
You're a pro, but do you recommend me if I wanted to just start up and learn and try to, you know, test my skills at riding a motorcycle?
Yeah. I cut out his answer just to be nice to him.
Cause embarrassing.
What an ass. And then he continues.
Now, so going back to the actual show, how many times did you encounter...
you got nothing, dude.
How do I say this?
You got nothing.
How tough...
You're just words. You have nothing in your head.
He's
trying
to.
When you're
water.
Saying, how do I say this? You're actually saying, I have nothing in my brain right now.
Yeah. Here's what Bugs is saying.
Next up, we're going to discuss something else that I'm going to figure out what that is at the end of this sentence.
That's what's going on here.
Was it for you? Because you said your background was a cameraman. You were more a technical, and then, you know, for the show, you were a technical guy. How tough was it for you to get into acting?
All right, that's legit. That's a legit question. But
finally,
did it need to talk about Beer Mug for 3/4 of it?
No, absolutely not.
Let's continue.
I got to say...
and I believe he's talking... I believe this was last Tuesday.
Yes,
when I
yes,
did
it was.
Anarchy afterward that night.
Yes.
So Moat starts with that, and then I don't know how he...
Kevin and Bean were talking. We've had Curtin a couple times, and Kevin is hosting Anarchy Afterward. He hosted 2 weeks ago before the Thanksgiving break, and he's hosting tonight.
What? Why are you telling him that?
Why so much detail on
that? Why does he care?
It's just me stalling for time. It's bad.
Oh, you're flowing it. I'll give you that.
And he said that he noticed that Kurt and the writers write a lot of things in that are comical, not necessarily meant to be comedy, but they come across like... Like, for instance, when Happy, you know, said he knows where to bury all the bodies, and Charlie called the, when he took that guy's challenger, he called him a fat piece of meat donuts and all that stuff. But there's like a lot of, you know, hidden comedy in the show, which I think is it's kind of cool because, you know, you get the dark moments and the comedic moments. Were you ever nervous about playing like a comedic part in any of your lines?
No.
Come on.
He's just giving up, right?
It's possible, this is a longer...
I've never heard anyone drown in a sea of words before. But it's as if Beer Mug is going down for the final count.
If it's possible, this is more drowning than the last question.
Than anything I've ever heard.
No, I'm saying the upcoming clip.
Oh, there's one still coming?
As a fan, David, I've been watching since season one, and I think Kurt and the writers... do such a good job in, you know, portraying that lifestyle and everything that is incorporated. And especially it's kind of cool how you see...
You guys tell me when we run out of time.
you know, in this season, you start to see some of the traditional beliefs kind of get broken, you know, with, you know, Jax kind of... You know, telling...
Now, do we know if he's still on the phone?
I believe he is,
because if I'm him, I'm hung up, I'm gone.
This is you now just doing a book on tape, like reading like what happened in episodes.
I forgot his name. The president of the Grim Bastards. His name
Michael
is...
Michael Beach.
Yes.
His name was T.O. on the show.
Yes, yes, exactly. T.O., he said, hey, if you guys ever want to come over to Sons, be my guest. I think that's really cool how Kurt...
You guys, I mean, we're out of time, but there's more.
Has broken a lot of the, you know, old traditional ways of motorcycle clubs.
No question. That was not a question.
Nope. It's just you making...
USA! 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 USA!
So more studio interviews from Beer Mug?
I'd say yes.
All right.
So yes, but not with people of shows we like. None of them.
Wow. Does this mean there's going to be a mayhem vote now?
Don't try and be funny. Finale's tonight. Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock. It is 7:53.
I think I see a weekly feature in 2015 where Beer Mug interviews guests.
By the way.
Yes. I see that. I think that must happen.
Goes with the flow?
He just flows it. Absolutely.
Flow it. Sorry to David LaBrava.
Who's awesome as Happy and Sons of Anarchy tonight on FX. Hey, Adam Carolla joins us later on, and we're also going to talk to the guys in Royal Blood next hour as well. They're playing this weekend at the Acoustic Christmas Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the show. Beat on a Tuesday.
How does it feel that the show is ending?
Just as an example of a question?
Just saying. Yeah. You could know nothing about that show.
True.
You've never seen one frame of Sons of Anarchy.
But you know,
but if you know the show is going up the air, you could ask an actor on the show, How's it feel that the show is ending?
Myself, should I learn to ride a motorcycle?
Instead of asking questions you would ask of a Harley Davidson salesman at a dealership, maybe you would ask him something about the TV show.
By the way, the salesman at the dealership would consider killing himself to get out of that conversation as well.
I think you did a great job.
7 years.
Yeah.
How would you sum up your experience?
Look, that's what we got, man. I played you the highlights.
All right, let me do something that can wash the taste of that out of all of our mouths. Let me give you something for having listened to that. You've earned this.
Oh, like anyone still listening.
That's true. But for those of you who maybe here just tuned in, who didn't hear Beer Mug's interview.
Oh, that would be so sweet, wouldn't it?
That'd be so nice. I wish I just tuned in and hadn't heard Beer Mug's interview.
You just woke up. You're so lucky.
You lucked out. You're just in your car now punching into us. Here are the Blu-ray combo pack of one of my favorite movies of the year is now available. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yay!
This combo pack includes a 3D Blu-ray disc, a regular Blu-ray disc, and then a digital copy of the movie. All that's available in the Blu-ray combo pack. I have four of them to give away right now to fans of the movie. 1-800-520-1067. But it gets better. The director of the film, the brilliant James Gunn, will be signing this Blu-ray combo pack at Amoeba Records on Friday. If you call now and get through at that phone number, you will get a front-of-the-line access ticket to be the front of line. You don't have to wait with the rest of the rabble. You can get up to the front and meet James Gunn and have him sign your combo pack.
So I, myself, would like to be a guardian of the galaxy.
Now, your name is James Gunn. Do you own a gun?
But that's a question.
That's true.
Which he stayed away from.
I, myself, have never owned a gun. But I would think to own one in Los Angeles would be hair-raising because of all the people who go about their business. Glub, 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 glub.
Good times.
That's great goddamn radio.
Thank you.
It really is. Ah, sad news. Pugsley is gone. Ken Weatherwax, the actor who played Pugsley on The Addams Family all those years ago, has passed away.
Wah, wah, wah.
At the age of 59. He was the brother. Remember, it was Wednesday, Little Wednesday, and then Pugsley, and then Morticia and Gomez Adams, of course, and Lurch and Uncle Fester. Those Adamses.
They were wacky, weren't they?
I liked that show. They were kooky. They were ooky. They were spooky. They lived in a museum where people came to see them. They really were a scream. The Addams Family.
Yeah, those are real lyrics.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Legendary TV theme. I liked the Addams Family too. I enjoyed that. I liked it better than the Munsters.
I think
it was always
too.
A battle when I was a kid on the schoolyard. Who were better, the Munsters or the Addamses?
Did you throw down?
We threw down. I liked the Addams because I knew that the Gomez and Morticia were going at it.
They were.
You knew they were just knocking boots every time Pugsley and Wednesday were out of the room. They were doing it.
And they made no secret of it.
Yeah, that was not subtle at all. No, they would do it in front of Fester. They didn't care. They'd make Lurch watch. That's all he would say. So, Ken Weatherwax passed away. Sad news. Pretty Woman, the musical.
Yes.
It's going to be a thing.
On TV?
No, they're doing it a stage version.
Christopher Walken?
Walken as the prostitute.
Yep.
No, the movie, of course, that starred Julia Roberts, made her a huge star, is going to be a Broadway musical. And I think it's great that it'll be a musical to celebrate whores. And how you can have a better life through whoring. That's a lesson we all need to learn, I think.
It has always struck me as weird that that's one of the great rom-coms of all time,
yes,
when Julia Roberts is literally a whore. Yeah.
She is a prostitute.
Like,
yes.
Why do the women love her and love that movie so much?
I think that's why this is a bad idea. She is a prostitute with a heart of gold.
That's right, Lisa.
And in 1990, I think you got to kind of get away with that because we're all sort of like stupid coming off the 80s and we're still doing our blow and talking into our big brick cell phones. We had no idea what was really happening in the world. But if you look now at the real world of human trafficking and sex trafficking and prostitution.
It's got a lot uglier.
There's very little in terms of charm about walking the streets hoping that a millionaire will come by and give you a necklace and make you his wife.
Yeah.
So it's a hard sell these days.
It is weird that movie has held up as much as it has. Like, we haven't turned on it yet.
Yeah, well. and get a chance to see it on Broadway. That's all that matters.
Nope.
Come on, Kevin. It's a new release day, by the way. It's Tuesday.
Tell me.
Here's what you can pick up with your entertainment dollar. We already talked about Guardians of the Galaxy. But other movies, Dolphin Tale 2. With Harry Connick Jr. and Morgan Freeman. This dolphin needs another tail.
So good.
When the Game Stands Tall, the football movie with Michael Chiklis and Jim Caviezel.
Oh, I wanted to see that. That looked great.
Well, now you can get it on DVD,
fantastic.
Kevin. And Frank. That's the movie with the guy who doesn't take the thing off his head. And he's in the
Michael
band.
Fassbender.
Yeah.
With
Michael
the,
Fassbender, yeah.
The big, yeah, the puppet head or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So good.
TV shows on DVD, Doctor Who Season 8, Under the Dome Season 2, and The Kroll Show Seasons 1 and 2 are also available on CD. New CD's dropping today, 36 Seasons by Ghostface Killah, and The Dream Walker by Angels and Airwaves. You can check that out.
Wow, kind of a thin week, huh?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Judi Dench is 80 years old today. Actor John Malkovich turned 61. Felicity Huffman's 52. Jacob Dylan is 45. Trey Cool, the drummer for Green Day, is 42 years old, and actor Simon Helberg celebrates his 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are coming up this weekend at the Forum. If you want to win tickets on the floor to both nights, we've got those for you at 9 o'clock this morning. You know, one of the bands you'll be seeing is Royal Blood. They're about my favorite band out right now, probably my favorite album of the whole year, and we're going to be talking to the drummer in that band coming up in about 20 minutes. I'm very excited about that.
The
I love
day,
them so much.
The day that came out, Bean said to me, Kevin, listen to me. Go home, get this album, listen to it. You will love it. And it's awesome.
Yeah. It's so great. I'm so happy that we get a chance to see him this weekend, too. I'm looking forward to that interview. Plus, Adam Carolla coming up. But first, yesterday we told you about a story. First thing in the morning, a lot of people listening now were not listening then. And I want to recap it for you briefly because it gets us into the topic of revenge. I've been asking around here in the office. We don't have a vengeful crew here very much. Nobody seems to have any stories of them waiting for the perfect moment to get back at somebody who did something awful to them.
That seems...
Our people do not seem revengeful.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just...
I have one story.
Hmm.
I have one story. Do you want me to tell it?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. It's there was a guy that was seeing somebody else while he was seeing me,
at
but
the same
lying
time.
About it. Yes, right. And I knew that he kept a hide a key in sort of the hood of his car where you could just grab it by
right.
the windshield.
Right.
So when he was at her house, I went over and I moved his car far away.
So
that
so
when he came
no
out, he could not find it.
Well, that's
it's something.
No,
yeah,
that's,
I didn't break any windows or anything.
But it's pretty
but...
calm. I
it
mean,
is.
Really,
yeah.
It's just a, hey, where's my car moment.
Right.
That's not enough.
But Lisa, how do you get the satisfaction
nice.
Of the revenge? Like, how do you get the credit for that? How did he know you were behind it?
I think it came up later.
Yeah,
I see. That was, and I also think I found her nightgown hanging from a door at his house, and I tied that to the radio wire, whatever that's called.
Oh, well.
Antenna?
Antenna, that's it.
The radio wire.
The radio
you know, the radio wire.
Wire.
All right, so apparently if you're going to scorn a woman, make it Lisa May, because there's not much consequence to that.
You know, the problem was...
She's not very good at revenge. She's too nice.
I still wanted him. That was the problem. I was, like, crazy in love. So it wasn't like I wanted to kill him. I just wanted him to stop seeing her.
Gotcha. Did that work?
No.
No.
All right. Well, that's one example of a revenge story told fine,
told
but
poorly.
Done poorly. Right. So we want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the story that got us on the discussion. Louisa Manning is her name. She's 22 years old. She's quite lovely. She goes to Oxford University. And it turns out that she was at a dance the other night, and a guy came up to her and asked her on a date. She accepted the date, but what he didn't know is that she recognized him as somebody who had tormented her as a middle schooler. He was among the crowd that used to make fun of her about her weight, about her monobrow. He called her a man beast in eighth grade.
Oh, my God.
A man beast.
That's brutal.
Now she's all grown up. She's grown into her looks. She's you know, obviously she's lost a lot of weight. She's addressed the hair issue, and she's quite lovely. So she accepted the date. Rather than, as we talked about this yesterday, Lisa, you said you would not have been able to resist giving him what for right there at the time,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's not what she did. She accepted the date, and they set a date and a time and a restaurant where they were going to meet. Well, he showed up for the date. She did not. Instead, she asked the waitress to hand him a photo of her
as an eighth grader and a piece of paper that said, "Hey, sorry I can't join you tonight. Remember in eighth grade when I was fat and you made fun of my weight? No, I do. I spent the following 3 years eating less than an apple a day. So I've decided to skip dinner. Remember the monobrow you mocked, the hairy legs you were disgusted by? Remember how every day for 3 years you and your friends called me man beast? No, perhaps you don't. Or you wouldn't have seen how I look 8 years later and deemed me effable enough to treat me like a human being. I thought I'd send this as a reminder. Next time, and this is talking about the photo that was enclosed. Next time you think of me, picture that girl in this photo because she's the one who just stood you up."
Yay!
Is that awesome? Is that petty? Is that...
Oh, I don't think it's petty.
Must have been enormously satisfying for her.
I don't think it's enough. I don't agree with Omar, who said in the meeting, "She should stab him." I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're looking for funny stories here."
Yeah, he thought that was really weak.
He did get in contact with her on Facebook and apologized profusely, by the way, and said, "You know, like a lot of people, you know, I was young and immature, and I've grown up too, and I'm really sorry. I never would do something like that today." So he did try to make good.
Did he try to ask her out after the apology, though?
It doesn't say that here.
Because that would take some cojones.
That would be bold, yeah, wouldn't it? But anyway, that is, and Kevin, you were saying this off the air yesterday. I mean, that is a woman who really has it together to plan something like that, to have that. She must have had that idea at the time, right? Because she accepted the date with him.
When he asked her out, she recognized him immediately. As yeah.
That's right.
He tormented her for 3 years. How do you not strike out right at that moment?
Right.
Yeah, right. That's pretty impressive.
Throw your drink in his face or
yeah.
something. How maybe. Do you accept the date and then plan this whole elaborate scheme?
Yeah, I mean, maybe she said yes because she just wanted time to think about it.
Even yeah, still, so. That's pretty,
like what she wanted
that's
to
pretty
do
in control.
If she wanted
exactly.
to leave a note or come with a knife.
Right.
You know, those choices.
All right. Well, we want to take your calls of revenge stories at 1-800-520-1067. I doubt that there's anything as elaborate as Louise's story, but let's hear what you've got to say. And why don't we start with, how about Kim in Santa Clarita? She's on line one, please.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Dude broke
hey, Kim,
your heart.
Before we hear your story, what do you think about the way the woman in this story handled it?
She's pretty rad.
Pretty rad. Okay. I suspect she's a champion to a lot of people who have been made fun of throughout the years. But let's hear what happened to you.
So I caught my boyfriend cheating on me. I went through, like, his email, his phone. So once I kicked him out and we broke up and everything, later down the line, I went through his iCloud and wiped his iPhone, his iPad. And so he lost all his pictures, all his numbers.
You still? He didn't change his. What an idiot! He didn't change his code.
He didn't change his password.
His password.
Oh,
what
that's
the?
How I got into everything.
Were you surprised when you could get? You know, what an idiot!
Well, that's why he deserved it. Like, let it like dumb dumb.
So whoa, hey, strong hey. Language. You're hang on you. Here with the dumb dumb.
Easy with dumb dumb.
How did he contact you? How mad was he?
He couldn't. He couldn't find her number.
No. Honestly, I don't know if he's smart enough to figure out it was me who did it, but.
Well, I'd say well done. I'd say well done. If
all
you
right,
caught
Kim.
Him with somebody else and he didn't change his password.
Yep, I agree.
It's
I
on him
you.
Is what you're saying.
Well done.
All right, Kim, thanks so much for the call. Thank you for listening. Kelly, you hang on. Dean as well. And we're taking your calls also at 1-800-520-1067 right after this on K-Rock. Taking your calls about revenge at 1-800-520-1067. Woman in England just got what she thought was the ultimate revenge when she stood up a date with a strongly worded letter, a date that she recognized as a guy who had made fun of her, bullied her all throughout middle school. Now that she's hot and grown up, he wants to ask her out, and she told him.
The nicest person in the world, Lisa May, moved the guy's car a block.
That's right.
That'll
very
show
different.
You for cheating on me.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We got some good ones. Let's blow through these and start on line 8, please, with Gavin. He's in Costa Mesa. This sounds like fun.
Hey, Gavin.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Story of revenge. What
okay.
happened?
My story of revenge, basically, dude jumped me at the 7-Eleven on the way home from high school a few years back. A couple years later, I ended up... on a job that he started on, you know, a little while later. And I talked to his manager and got him fired for the altercation years before.
Really? So you just told the manager the story of what happened?
So you said,
yeah,
that dude
pretty much.
That you just hired beat me up 6 years ago, so fire him, and it happened.
Pretty much.
How
nice.
About that?
Yeah.
So were you there to see it? What was the guy's reaction? Did he recognize you as somebody that he'd beat up before?
Oh, yeah. We recognized each other instantly. And there was kind of a little bit of tension, but, nothing really went down. I mean, I was working security at the time.
Well, you had the last laugh.
About to start a fight on camera with security.
Right.
Gotcha. Sounds like you won. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Long Beach now. Our man Dean is on line 6, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Dean.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
So, yes, thank you. I found out that my ex-wife was cheating on me. So I went to the bar and drank a lot, and then I took a taxi to where she was staying with him.
Yeah.
She didn't realize that I had the spare key to the car. So it was like 2 in the morning, and I unlocked the car, and I peed all over her seats.
I should have done that.
Lisa just moved it. Come on, Lisa.
Darn it. I could have done more.
I moved it a block. You got liquored up so that you could do that? Or you just happened to get liquored up and then think about it?
No, I got liquored up and said, you know what? This is a really good idea.
All right.
I already have a full bladder. Why not use it down in her car?
Exactly. And from what I understand, she actually had to get rid of the car because she couldn't get the smell out.
Oh, man.
So you're like a cat then.
Yes.
Can never get that out. All right. Thanks for the call, Dee. Appreciate that. That's funny. Let's go to Lisa, Chino Hills, line 4, please.
Right. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Story of revenge. What happened?
Okay, this was quite a long time ago, but I met this guy on a cruise. He lived in Boston. I live here in California. So we started this long-distance romance. Everything was going fine. But his ex-wife, even though she didn't have a boyfriend, she apparently didn't like our relationship. His kids liked me, so she didn't like that.
Right.
So on the last trip, he had the whole week planned, but he liked to flap his gums to her. So apparently she must have threatened him, you're not going to see the kids or whatever, because when he came home from work, he was a totally different person. This isn't working, blah, blah, blah. So we got into a huge fight. So I ended up calling my friend in New York. She got me a flight to spend the rest of the trip up there. So while he was at work the next day, before he came home to take me to the airport, I crawled underneath his bed and poured heavy cream all over the heater vents.
Oh.
Ew.
And this was October, so it was already starting to get cold. So I knew in no time it was going to start really smelling like...
Oh. Rancid milk, basically, is what it smells
like.
Yeah,
curdled milk, yeah.
So that's how you treat a guy who chooses his kids over his latest girlfriend.
No, not his kids. It wasn't about his kids. It was about him... treating me like a piece of crap instead of just saying, you know what, this isn't going to work.
He just came home and was rude.
Like, yeah, came home, personal attack on me. I didn't invite you here when he was the one that invited me there.
Wow.
He just totally turned on me.
Ouch.
I thought, okay, I'll show you.
All right. This turned ugly. Thank you for the call.
You won.
Appreciate that. I think you made the right choice. All right, one more real quick. This is going to be Bethany. This will bring us full circle. We started with the story about the woman and got the revenge on the guy who had bullied her. Bethany had a similar story in Montebello. Hi, Beth. What's up?
Hi. What's up, guys?
Hi.
What happened? The story of revenge.
Okay, so I dated this guy. Like, now we're dating, but I've known him since sixth grade. We met, like, in summer school and whatever, and I was, like, way taller than him. I've always been 5'9", this tall girl and whatever. He liked me, asked me out, and I, like, told him no. And I think that was, like, the starting of it. But he picked on me brutally. He called me horse dog. He would.
Wait, he called you horse dog?
Yes.
Horse dog.
Bizarre. Horse dog. Who makes fun of someone and calls them horse dog?
You're a horse dog. I've never heard of that.
Nobody's ever heard of it. But I was like, what made you call me that? So he called me horse dog. He would call me lusty woman. He would call me giraffe. He'd call me names and would get people to call me names.
Right.
All right. So he's bullying you and getting others to gang up on you because you turned him down. And then what happened ultimately?
Ultimately, he ended up finding me on a dating website. We have, like, everything in common. And we kind of started dating. So in the end, it became like my revenge was you get to spend the rest of your life with me.
He has to spend the rest of his life with you is what you mean.
He has to spend the rest of his life.
This story ends with you dating him?
So it was ending up being like we ended up spending the rest of
All right, I don't know what's happening now, but yes, Kevin, that's exactly what happened. The guy who bullied her and tortured her and got others to torture her as well ended up finding her on a dating site, similar to the story in England, except theirs has a happy ending because now they're together as a couple. How about that?
Well, she showed him.
He's dating a horse dog.
Six point seven K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:38.
Come on, right?
Come on.
Right?
Right?
You know, we always talk about, we hope that's the moment that your alarm goes off. I hope you woke up to royal blood on K-Rock, because that's the way you want to start your Tuesday. This weekend, we couldn't be more excited to welcome the guys to the stage at the Forum. It's the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and we're very excited, making their first appearance on the show. Ben Thatcher, the drummer for Royal Blood, is on the line right now. Hey, Ben. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Very good. We're great. We cannot tell you how much of a fan we are of you guys, your music, your band, your videos, your live stuff, everything. We're so psyched to have you come into Southern California this Saturday. How are you doing? How's it going, being up the 8:30 in the morning?
It's good. It's early, isn't it? Like, I don't normally get up at this time.
No. Well, a lot of our listeners may be unfamiliar with the backstory of Royal Blood, and I am so fascinated with the stories that we hear about people who work in obscurity for 25 years before they get anybody to listen to the record. It seems like it's all happened so, so fast for Mike. When did you actually meet and start working together?
We actually met about 10 years ago. We had our 10-year anniversary. It was quite romantic, and we sat and had a candlelit dinner.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was actually. Actually, he's bringing a tear to my eye right now.
But you weren't working together in a band 10 years ago. That's much more recent, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been in bands for the past 10 years together. You know, we've been in wedding bands. We've been in funk bands, rock bands, and none of them were very good.
What was your favorite song to play as a funk band?
As a funk band? Yeah. I think probably... Dancing on the Ceiling, Lionel Richie.
Nice.
Do you guys ever whip out any of the wedding band songs, like for encores or anything in Royal Blood shows now?
We haven't yet. I'm still pushing for it, but I don't know if Mike's too keen on doing, you know, Easy Like a Sunday Morning.
Come on. That would kill people.
Now, I'll work it out. Work it out with him.
Right, I love it. Hey, I'm just saying, you are playing Saturday night. That might be the time to break it out. I know that it is tough and takes a long time in general to break in America because we're so big and we have so many people and so many radio stations. But in England, it seems like it happened so fast for you in that there was so much advance publicity for the album. People were lined up. Didn't you break some sort of record with first week sales when your album went on sale in England?
Yeah, it was something like that. I don't really understand how it all happened, to be honest. It was like, yeah, it was a bit of a blur for us, actually.
I imagine if it had... I mean, you did put out your first album in 2014, and NME said it was one of the best albums of the year.
That's
the best album of the year.
The, right.
What do you suppose happened? Do you think some of it was just that after so much pop music across the radio in Britain, it was just you guys were kind of a breath of fresh air, somebody coming back and bringing it back around to rock and roll, do you think?
Maybe some people just woke up and made rock and roll for breakfast again.
Yeah. Look, it always goes that way. It always goes where it's heavy, heavy rock, and then rock goes away for a while, and we hide. And then somebody breaks through. You know, and you're touring with the Foo Fighters, two bands that could easily bring back rock, which we're very excited about. Tell us about touring with the two Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I mean, if you had asked Mike and I before we even started a band who we'd like to tour with, we would have said Foo Fighters. So it's an amazing opportunity and privilege to be able to do that.
We're on the phone with Ben Thatcher right now. He is the drummer for the band Royal Blood. Their album is amazing. Everyone listening should download it and get it, and be sure not to miss their set Saturday night at the Forum at the Acoustic Christmas Show. I'm sure that it's a choice that you guys made to just be a two-member band. Why is that? It seems like that would, in a lot of ways, limit the kinds of songs you're able to do. It doesn't sound like it. You guys make a lot of noise, but I'm sure there are times when you want more people to play more instruments. Why do you go the way you go?
I think having two people in your band makes you more creative. I reckon, we wanted to sound like a four-piece, so being a two-piece, it gave us a lot of challenges, I guess, to sound bigger and to... kind of adapt to make bigger sounds. And
what some bands will do if they want to sound like a four-piece is to get two other members.
Yeah, you could do that. That's the easy way to do it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so.
If I thought like a normal person, we'd probably have another two members. But unfortunately for everyone else, I don't.
Well, Ben, I'm I'm pretty good with a cowbell. I mean, if you need me on Saturday night, I'll be standing by.
And I got a slide whistle. I mean, I can rock a slide whistle.
That'd be great.
Now, were you at all fans of or influenced at all by Black Keys, White Stripes, others who have gone before you with this setup?
Yeah, I mean, Black Keys, White Stripes, they're like, we love those bands, you know. But we often get pushed into that category as a two-piece because of them guys. But, you know, they do the blues rock kind of thing as well. But we're more influenced by everything else. And, you know, like Black Sabbath and Foo Fighters, Led Zeppelin, Queens of the Stone Age, all those bands, you know, we don't just listen to two pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you're right. Your album is heavier than theirs. And I hope that Out of the Black is going to be the next single in the United States. I know that was a number one for you in the UK, but that is one of the best songs of the year. I'm so excited to see that. You mentioned Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin. How did that happen where Jimmy Page ended up raving about you guys to the press as being one of the best bands in the world today? I mean, and how do you feel about that as a Led Zeppelin fan when a quote like that comes back to you?
It's a pretty strange feeling. I mean, I remember we were playing one of our first shows ever in New York, and all of a sudden a load of doormen were running in, a load of security guards, and we had no idea really what was going on, but we saw Jimmy's face walk into the crowd. And
did you panic?
I didn't, because I knew I didn't have to play guitar in front of him.
How about Mike? What was his reaction?
Yeah, I think Mike was a little bit more nervous than I was at that stage, yeah.
Jimmy Page said that you guys take rock into a new realm, taking the genre up a few serious notches. That's something.
It's a very, very kind words from a very lovely person.
Yeah. What does he know about rock music? What the hell? If you could, without being too technical, because I know nothing about musical instruments, can you explain in layman's terms how Mike is able to make his guitar sound like that? Because as I understand it, it's a bass guitar. It's not an electric guitar. He's making all that noise with something that he does to the bass, right?
That is correct. I like to call it black magic because I'm not really too sure either.
You don't know either.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, I know little bits. He uses a lot of amps. And he turns it up really loud.
I could do that, though, and it wouldn't sound as good as
you know,
him.
It's more simple than it turns out to be.
how have you been doing with – I know you've played some other shows like the one you're going to play with us on Saturday night. How has it been going out and playing in front of a bunch of people that haven't necessarily come to see Royal Blood?
It's exciting. It's nice to play in front of people that have no idea who you are, and – you know, it's a challenge. You've got to win them over. You've got to make new friends. It's like being the new kid at school.
Yeah, everyone loves that, man. No one has anything but great memories about being the new kid at school, Ben.
you're gonna get bullied at first, but you know, after they come round to you, you know, you'll probably be head boy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're going to win over some fans, and we've got System of a Down that night and Rise Against and New Politics, Linkin Park, Incubus. It's going to be a super fun night, Ben.
It is. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we are too. You can follow the band on Twitter at Royal Blood UK. Their website is royalbloodband.com. Please buy their debut album out now, and please see them Saturday night at the Forum for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We are looking forward to shaking your hand and seeing you and Mike in person, man. Thanks for the time today.
No problem.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 8:55.
Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour, and we've got tickets for you on the floor for both nights of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That is coming up. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
You know, sometimes I forget what a piece of human garbage Floyd Mayweather is. And then...
What's he done to remind you?
The nice thing is that there's... The news media is around to remind me, so I never forget it. I never want to lose that feeling.
Yeah. What happened now?
Well, I don't know if you heard this or not, but one of his hanger-ons, a rapper, in quotes, that was signed to his Floyd Mayweather's record company, Earl Hayes. You may have heard of this murder-suicide where he killed his wife and then himself.
Oh, right.
He's
getting
someone on VH1,
he was
right?
Married to a VH1. A dancer named Stephanie Mosley.
I did hear about that.
who was also a video dancer, very beautiful, talented lady. He claimed that she was unfaithful. She was in a rage, and he murdered her and then killed himself. But he did this all while he was FaceTiming with Floyd Mayweather.
So Floyd Mayweather was watching.
He's on the phone with him, this guy FaceTiming him, saying, hey, pull yourself together, don't do this, don't do this. And then he witnessed the murder and then the suicide.
Wow.
And then, because he was so distraught over what he had just witnessed, Floyd Mayweather went right to the Clippers game. Sat courtside. Photos of him here yucking it up with Chris Paul and Jamal Crawford before the Suns Clippers game.
After he watched his friend blow his brains out.
Sure, yeah. Well, sure, Bean. I'm sure he must have been distraught, so he needed a fun time at the basketball game just to, you know, help him cope.
Hey, life's for the living, man. Gotta move on.
Move on. You can't dwell on that stuff.
I mean, it was 15 minutes ago. What do you want me to do?
Hey, that's in the past. That is so 15 minutes ago.
Most people, I would think that would take years to get over.
You'd have to be under the care of a physician.
Wow, that's crazy.
You'd have to put me in a sanitarium if I witnessed that. With a team of Swedish psychologists trying to work me through it for the next 6 months.
Swedish female psychologists,
hell
right?
Yeah, in bikinis.
That's what I thought.
But, yeah, he saw that and then went to the Clippers game.
He's the best.
He is. He's a champ.
That's what we're saying, right?
He's the people's champ.
Yeah.
Pound for pound, he's the biggest piece of human garbage there is. Stunned. As I am stunned by Sarah X. You may remember her. She was the model that released that video of her making her boobs dance to that piece of classical music.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, she's back, and she's got a Christmas single for us all to enjoy. There's a video now on online. You can check her out doing what she calls boob twerking, where she makes her boobs dance to Jingle Bells. And it's the holiday season.
What's this holiday more than that?
Nothing! That's my point.
All good.
Jesus loved boobs. That's in the Bible.
Is it in the Bible word for word, or are we inferring that? Okay.
Well, it speaks in their funny way. They speak, he loveth the mammarieth or whatever. I forget how they phrase it.
Well, Jesus' dad did create them, for God's sake.
Thank you. Hello. Jesus hung out with a hooker. He was down with the ladies.
All right.
Hello, is this thing on?
It is.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift.
What's she done? What great thing has she done now?
Nothing ever. But it's bad enough that Time Magazine says they're considering her as one of the potential persons of the year for the cover of their Person of the Year issue for 2014.
Excellent.
Barbara Walters has just announced her list of the most fascinating people that she's going to do on her year-end special.
I thought Barbara Walters retired. I thought we were done with Barbara Walters.
She retired like 5 years
ago. She retired from The View.
Oh.
But she was still working for ABC doing TV specials.
All right. I like your Barbara Walters.
Why, thank you, Kevin.
So, finish the story.
She'll be interviewing Taylor Swift.
Excellent!
One of the most fascinating people of 2014. Thank God someone is giving Taylor Swift some exposure. I'm glad she's finally getting some publicity.
Who gives a damn? Do you disagree with her as being one of the 10 most fascinating people of 2014?
Absolutely! Nobody is more famous who is less fascinating, by the way. Look up the word fascinating in the dictionary. And in no way does it apply to Taylor Swift. I will give you popular, I will give you successful,
and
I will give you rich, I will give you famous. But fascinating, I respectfully decline.
Agreed.
Here's the rest of the list. Chelsea Handler. Oh, it just gets better.
All right. If they came to Ralph and said, what is your ultimate enemy list?
Who's the least fascinating people we can interview?
You would vote for Taylor Swift ahead of Chelsea Handler, because at least Taylor Swift has done something at 24. She's created an empire. What has Chelsea Handler done?
She's done something. She's had a very successful TV career with no talent.
All right.
But she's also not fascinating. Neil Patrick Harris. Now, that's a fascinating dude right there.
Yes. Yeah, he's done
multi-talented, can do it all, will do it all, has been Broadway and movies and television. child star who's able to conquer that hurdle and become an adult star, which is very few and far between.
And you've got the idea sort of that he hasn't peaked yet.
Yes, he's got a lot more to goo, and he's smart. And
did you say to goo?
To goo.
Yeah, he has a lot more to goo.
He's got a lot of goo to do. Goo-goo-ga-joob.
He absolutely deserves to be on that list.
Right, right. Scarlett Johansson. Not fascinating.
No.
Beautiful.
Talented.
Talented?
Yeah.
Fascinating?
No.
Fascinating?
I don't think so.
Oprah Winfrey?
No.
Is it 1985?
Wait, what? Oprah this year?
Yes. Aren't we all, don't we know everything we need to know about Oprah Winfrey? Haven't we been Oprah Winfrey to death at this point?
I would say
and
so.
And she's not doing anything new or interesting now. It's not like she's started a new career after she left TV or anything like this. She's doing the same stuff she's always done.
Who could be fascinated by her at this point?
Nobody.
Billionaire David Koch? Cook? Koch? K-O-C-H?
I hope one of those is right.
Koch?
I hope it's the first. Which one is he, Ruff?
Cook?
How is he a billionaire? What's he famous for?
I don't know.
All right.
But he's a billionaire.
Okay.
Is he one of the Koch brothers? Is he
the
one of those guys?
Koch brothers?
Koch
brothers?
Yeah. C-O-C-H? Is that him?
Yeah.
So he's a politically influential wheeler dealer?
Yes.
All right. He's a Koch brother.
Okay.
All right.
I used to have a Koch brother.
No, I'm sure
not
you
the same thing, Ralph. Not the same thing.
He would deliver
not
day or night. Thing. He was my Koch brother. Not, yo, Koch brother.
Not the same thing.
Thank you so much for helping a brother out.
Not the same thing.
And Michael Strahan. Well, who's more fascinating than Michael Strahan?
That's a weird list.
After all, he played football, and now he talks to Kelly.
It's really more of a who can we get list than it is a fascinating list.
That's got to be a do-good for ABC, right? She owes them one or something. There's some part of her contract where she's got to promote something.
I mean, look, he is a Hall of Fame football player.
Look,
and
I'm
he's
not
a,
saying.
He's
not
an
good.
Excellent broadcaster,
yes.
But there are a lot of those.
Fascinating.
But there are a lot of those.
Yeah.
Who would you guys, I know we don't have much time here, but who would you pick as the most fascinating person of the year? Like, who should she interview? I have a name that I think, but who do you guys think? Like, who's missing on that list that you think, oh, my God, 2014, that's the most fascinating person. Where are they?
Dave Grohl, honestly.
Ooh, that's a great
call.
If Barbara Walters knew who Dave Grohl was, she would have thought of that.
That is an excellent call. Kevin Ryder, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Ryder.
I finally got
Hall of Fame!
By the way, Kevin, I read this morning Dave said they have 1,300 hours of footage that they haven't used for Sonic Highways.
1,300 hours?
Yep.
I mean, he's been to every city. He exposed, you know, the music in every city. That's it. How do you get bigger than him? Better than him?
Lead singer, songwriter, one of the biggest bands in the world. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bike rider Bono, maybe?
We'll come back to this. We're out of time.
What was yours? You said you had one, Bean.
Kim Jong-un.
All right, just stop it.
I'm saying you talk about a fascinating guy that you want to know about what his life is like and what he's doing.
She has to get him on the show.
Right,
well, I know, but I'm saying that's who I want to see. That's who the most fascinating person in the world is right now.
Everything is lies. There's no there.
I want that interview.
Seth Rogen is getting that interview.
That's right.
Okay, that's right. I forgot they took care of it.
Thank you.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthday, Simon Helberg is 34 years old. Trey Kuhl turns 42. Jacob Dylan's 45. Felicity Huffman turns 52. John Malkovich turns 61 years old today. And Dame Judi Dench turns 80. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sunday nights at 10, a show on the Spike TV network called Catch a Contractor is hosted by our good friend Adam Carolla. If you'd like to sign up for season 3 of Catch a Contractor, if you or anyone you know has some unfinished work or a shoddy job left behind by a contractor, you can contact them online at catchacontractor.com. The Ace Man is going to be on stage December 11th along with Jay Leno at the Grove of Anaheim, and on the 12th with Jay Moore in Agoura Hills. Tickets on sale for both at adamcarolla.com. Hey, Adam, what's going on, buddy?
I'm doing good. I normally do the Week in Rage about this time, but I thought I'd take this moment to shower a little love and respect on the two of you for being inducted into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Oh, please.
It's time for This Week
in Rage!
I'm just kidding.
Oh, please with that.
Well, listen, honestly, I know how you two are wired. You know, you've probably taken all the edible arrangeables and thrown them out and shunned all the praise that has come your way. But I'm here to tell you that without you guys, I would not be sitting in my cozy home right now, or I probably wouldn't even be
sued by patent trolls. This is nothing for you guys.
Look, here's my whole thing.
Room somewhere swinging a hammer.
Here's my whole thing.
Yeah, you go first, Kevin, and then I'll beat him down after that.
Bean and I, for the first 3 days, I think, honest to God, thought that it was Jimmy Kimmel playing a joke on us.
Yeah, when they told us we were being inducted to the Hall of Fame, we honestly thought it was a Kimmel prank. The whole thing was a joke.
I would take – I thought the birth of my twins was a joke.
None of us trust anything anymore.
First birthday, I still thought, Jimmy, come on. I know you're behind this.
But here's the thing, though, Adam, and I mean this absolutely sincerely, if we're getting real here. You would have 100% made it anyway. Yeah, it opened up a couple doors because you were on K-Rock and people listen to K-Rock that are in the industry and stuff. But you are so talented, there's no question in my mind that you would have ended up being exactly where you are today, even if Kevin and Bean didn't exist.
Same with Jimmy.
I mean that. And same with Jimmy, absolutely. You guys were on a rocket ride to start. Look, there's a reason talented people like you guys, and even Ralph, who, you know, thank God he's still on the show, but he's doing lots of other things with movies and TV. Those people are talented enough to move on and get out. Kevin and Bean are the no talents who are left behind while everybody else goes off to fame and fortune.
And Adam, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Should I, Kevin, be in any group that includes Vin Scully?
Wow.
I want an honest answer.
No.
Okay.
But more importantly, he shouldn't be in any group that you're in. I think that's the way I would look at it.
Agreed, same.
The point is 25 years is unbelievable, and being as consistent as you guys are, listening every day for that amount of time, listening in 1994 when I was driving my four-cylinder Isuzu Trooper up Laurel Canyon and hearing about Jimmy the sports guy and Michael the maintenance man and the bleed on Reseda.
Adam called, a lot of people don't know, Adam called to be the trainer. I believe you were calling to train Michael the maintenance man.
I was there to train anyone I could, but you always bet on black. And Jimmy, you know, it's so funny because Jimmy had only been there a few months before I called into the show.
Right.
And I called, and I wanted to be the trainer. And there's a couple things I thought I'd share with some of your listeners that may not remember how this story went. But I ended up training Jimmy. People don't realize that for that fight, the judges were John Wayne Bobbitt, Pat O'Brien, and Adam Sandler.
I didn't even remember Sandler.
Wow!
Yeah, it's so weird how guys like Sandler, because it was Sandler before he was Sandler.
Yeah,
so
true.
It didn't really register who it was.
We haven't talked to Sandler in 15 years because he's
too big.
On.
He's too big. He won't come on anymore.
Well, he went to Reseda at 6:30 in the morning to judge two guys having a sloppy barroom fight sitting next to a guy got his honker cut off. That was his claim to fame. And John Wayne Bobbitt.
Sure.
But, you know, I remember being really – I remember calling in and doing the first joke I ever did on radio. And you guys, and it was nice of you to say that I would have found success with or without you, but I'd been banging my head against the wall for 8 or 10 years with zero success before I met you guys.
Before you tell us the joke, I would like to point out that Jimmy said, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, hey, guys, my boxing trainer's pretty funny. And we said, yeah, we'll get to it. Like, it took it like he had to sort of force you on us.
It was funny because I had to talk with Jimmy when the fight was over. I said, how do I keep this going? How do I get on the radio? How do I do this? And he said, what do you do? And I said, I sit, I improvise, I crack wise, I roll with the punches. He said, we don't need you to do that. Kevin and Bean do that. We need you to come up with a character. I said, I don't do characters. He said, you better come up with one. And that's how the whole Mr. Burcham thing came about. But the first joke, and I remember we're going to call in and we're going to get an update on Jimmy's training.
Right.
Which was really him and I sitting around cracking wise and drinking Snapple all day. But the first joke we're coming up with a nickname for Jimmy. We need a fighting name for Jimmy. And we're thinking about the Italian Tornado,
maybe the Sicilian assassin. But after seeing him spar in the ring today, we've just settled on Jim. And that was it. That was my. That was the first. That was like my first official joke. That was the first official broadcast joke
if I could
ever
just,
told.
If I could say this to somebody who is seriously more funny than I am, that's not a very good joke.
I was green.
Okay.
I Adam, was still swinging a hammer.
Do you look back on the 90s of the Kevin and Bean show? And I feel like we're speaking at our own funeral here, but was that the golden age? Did we peak at around 2000 and it's been a slow decline ever since?
No, it's been a fast free fall.
Okay, all right. Not so much with the slow decline.
No, it was a crazier time when, you know, flying Tower Air to New York for 5 days was the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life.
Yeah.
And now it would be considered a chore, right?
Right. Yes.
We should all get back to that innocence. Or
it is funny that we did all used to. I mean, those trips like that we took to New York with you and Adam and
Adam,
I guess, and Jimmy and Tad. Remember that trip to New York, how much fun that was? That was Just Eat the Sandwich, Adam.
Yeah, Just Eat the Sandwich.
Remember when Jimmy convinced Tad that Bean was going back to his hotel to get a hooker?
Yes, and we just brought Tad to screw with us.
Yeah.
And the other thing we would bring is needle nose pliers and a universal remote so we could watch free porn.
That's right. We were like, Adam, come up to my room.
Yeah, one universal remote, so it had to be shared amongst us.
I totally forgot about that.
By the way, Kevin, if you can get Adam to come up to your room, you don't need the porn, all right? You understand?
Well, nobody deserves it more than you guys.
Thank you. Here's what I will say, though, is we rode Jimmy until we rode you until we rode Ralph. So
that's right. That's right. We're doing.
We're still riding, man.
Well, may the ride go on another 25 years.
Adam, you're so kind to say that, honestly. I mean, I said this to Jimmy online yesterday, too. We really wouldn't be here if it weren't for the talented people around us, like you guys, and like like Dave that we have now, and Ralph, and Christine, and Chip. We'd probably do without beer mug, but I'm saying we do stand nice on the shoulders of a lot of other people, like Lisa May, who have been here and have worked with us for a long, long time. So there wouldn't be an us without them. So we really appreciate you saying that, Ace Man. That's awesome.
Oh, that's a skill. A lot of people would have went, screw this guy, or get this guy out of my face, or I'm threatened by this guy.
What, are you crazy? We're not funny, so we go, if that guy can be funny, let him. We get the credit.
That's my point, except for the part where you're saying that's funny.
Right. Hey, Thursday night at 8 on stage at the Grove of Anaheim, great guest Jay Leno is going to be there. AdamCarolla.com to buy those tickets. And the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills is going to be on Friday night with Jay Moore. Another hilarious night. Tickets just $30. Ace Man, appreciate the kind words. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock. KROQ, The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
It's good to hear Adam Carolla, who's in the Hall of Fame press release, talk about the Kevin and Bean Show. And
okay.
Back in
well,
the days when
he was a big part of it, Ralph.
Yeah, I know. He was part of it back in the days when you guys still gave a rat's ass. And it must have been fun working back then. Those were good times, I'm sure, from what I've heard.
Dude,
what I've read in the history books.
We didn't cut you
Chris
out of the
Hardwick
press release.
Chris
Hardwick, just so you know.
Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla and everybody who made the press release. Well, those are the people who made the Kevin and Bean Show what it is. That's
you know, Kennedy got cut out of the press release, too, for some curious reason. She was on that list, too, and they cut her out for that. I don't know. I don't understand the editing process.
I guess Kennedy, myself, and Lisa May, we forgot to write a check to someone, apparently. But
yep.
We wrote like a 10-page essay
Chamber
on you guys, on the two of you. It was 10
yeah,
pages,
sure,
like 5 pages each.
Oh, why wouldn't we believe that? That seems completely like you guys. That just seems just like something you would do.
Ralph, do you feel that the listeners don't already give you the credit for the success of this show?
Because oh, the listeners give me a ton of credit.
My email tells me that they do.
No, the listeners give me a ton of credit, and that's why I love our listeners. I'm not talking about the listeners.
They have never failed me.
I'm just saying the listeners have never failed me, not once.
All right, but is your complaint that Kevin and Bean don't give you enough props?
You know who has failed me, however? This Milana Weinstrub.
Oh, don't even get me started on her.
Milana Weinstrub. I've done nothing but heaping praise and love on this woman, and she's just blown us off, just abandoned us.
She really has.
No interest.
She's Lily,
whatever.
The AT&T commercial.
Lily, the AT&T commercial girl.
Yeah. Thank you, Bean.
And we're supposed to have her. Yeah, Kevin had like that deer in that Hall of Fame deer in the headlights look. And we're supposed to have her on our show after we talked about how much we loved her.
Right.
And pff, just. Pff.
Well, she
it's
said,
almost end times for us, and then gone world.
She did say, I'll come on tomorrow and then cancel. Then she said, I'll come on tomorrow and then cancel.
Yeah. And then she went to do Doug Benson's podcast. She was on that. She found time for that.
Because she was getting high with him.
Because he provides drugs. Right. I keep telling you, if we provided drugs, we'd get a lot more guests.
Note to self.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
now it's over. It's the green room. I'm over her.
Well, I agree. I mean, I feel like we made enough invitations and, you know, moved our schedule around enough as much as we could for her. And at some point, she's not interested in coming
on. Dead to me.
So what happens now when you're watching football on Sundays
now,
and her cute little face comes up on those commercials?
I turn my back. I don't know what you're saying. I turn my back. I'm not listening. I'm la, 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 la. I put my fingers on my ears. But now I'm all about the Nationwide girl. That's
I'm
going to
support her choice. Who's the Nationwide girl?
The Nationwide girl is the girl in the black cat suit who replaces all your belongings once the thieves steal them from your house.
Yeah,
oh,
like
I haven't
her.
Seen that one yet.
What?
Really?
No, I don't think I've seen that. A cat suit, of course.
How can you have not seen the Nationwide girl? And there's a new Christmas Nationwide commercial where thieves steal the Christmas stuff and she replaces everything, but this time everything's gift wrapped.
Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know how you missed that if you watch football.
I'm sorry. I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Right?
Yes, you can miss that.
That's weird.
Okay. We got to get the Nationwide girl on now.
Take it easy.
The Nationwide girl! She's like a secret agent and a superhero and insurance agent. All in the same. She's like a secret insurance agent. She's like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. if S.H.I.E.L.D. was an insurance company.
Well, she sounds pretty awesome.
Just
she's
admit
the best.
She's in a cat suit and that's all she needs
it's,
for you.
She's more than that. Yeah. She helps you when the chips are down, my friends.
Oh, Christine just sent me a photo. Yeah, she's a pretty good deal.
Have you seen her, though?
You've never seen those commercials?
No, I have not seen a picture. Really? Wow.
Yeah, it does not look familiar, I'm intrigued.
It's not Hall of Fame behavior. That's all I'm saying.
It's a communist.
So we got to try to get her on. Maybe she'll like us.
Right?
We're getting somebody on before the end of the year. I'm telling you. It's happening.
It's getting more like communism.
Sure is.
We're going to do this and do that.
Now, we did talk to Victoria's Secret supermodel Lily Aldridge on the program today, Ralph, and
yeah.
It sounded like she was serious about coming in and sitting in with us one morning soon.
Yeah, that'll be good radio.
So that'll be fun.
That'll be good radio.
It will be good radio. She's very bright. I like her.
She is bright.
And by the way, we talked about the Victoria's Secret show tonight, and Bean, to his credit, God bless him, did not bring up Tadoff Switler.
Right.
I was so happy after that.
I also am proud of Bean for giving Victoria's Secret its props for hiring girls who look like normal people for their show, which I thought was spot on.
Now, hold on. Let's be fair.
When I watch that show, I feel like I'm in Studio City just walking down Ventura Boulevard because all of those girls look just like normal people.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. What I said is, of course, the girls on Victoria's Secret are beautiful and thin, but they're not the emaciated models that you see on fashion shows, you know, runway models for other shows. They've got a lot more normal. They're closer to normal than other fashion models are. That's
you
what I
said congratulations for them for hiring normal people. And if you want to, we can get the tape in time.
Yeah,
we
can make a little wager in context because I did clarify with what I meant. Obviously, I don't mean normal like the next person you see on the street, but I mean compared to the emaciated fashion models that we all hate. I'm saying these girls are a lot more realistic. That's all.
Man, too much hate. I don't hate them, man. I don't hate them.
I just want them to eat a little.
This could be a good thing. Chris Pratt, who now is just going to be in every movie from now to the end of time with successive Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he was so good in that.
In talks to join the cast of the remake of The Magnificent Seven. Now, here's the thing about The Magnificent Seven. It's a classic Western done back in 1960, and that itself was a remake of a Japanese classic by Akira Kurosawa called The Seven Samurai. So I have no real problem with them remaking this again because I think this is a Western that could use a little spruce up.
Okay.
With the right cast, it could be outstanding.
Don't get mad at me, but I haven't seen it.
You've never seen The Magnificent Seven?
Not
ringing a bell.
That sort of rings a bell, but no, I never saw them.
Classic.
Okay.
Steve McQueen, Yul Brynner, Charles Bronson, Robert Vaughn, James Coburn, Horst Buchholz, and Brad Dexter. The Magnificent Seven. It's a hodgepodge, if you will, of guys who really don't belong to you. They're all hired, gunslingers hired to protect a Mexican village from a bunch of bandits. And, boy, it's a great film. And Denzel Washington's already signed up.
Oh, fantastic.
So they had Chris Pratt and some other high-powered actors with a sense of machismo and some irony. I'm on board. So look forward to that happening.
Sounds great. Sometime. Like an Old West Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. And while we're talking about movies, congratulations to, well, let's play the game. Let's guess what iTunes has released its list of the top-selling movies of 2014. What do you think is the best-selling movie on iTunes for 2014?
Well, I'm going to say Guardians of the Galaxy, since we were just talking about it. It was the biggest movie of the year at the box office.
10th place!
Really?
What? 10th place.
That is hard to get my head around.
10th place.
10th place.
Why? Why? If people went to see it in the theater and loved it, would they not also buy it on iTunes?
Good question. Maybe it's a different audience who are primarily seeking their film viewing out.
Guardians
on.
Of the Galaxy just came out a couple of weeks ago, so that's why.
I was going to say, didn't it just come out?
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
There you go. That makes sense. People haven't had a chance to download it as much. Although, it doesn't mean anything. The Taylor Swift album, when it first came out, had millions of downloads.
Yeah.
First week.
So that's 10.
People
can catch up.
If people wanted it, they can get it.
Can we name
Dave? So shut up, disembodied Dave voice.
Anchorman 2. I'm serious. Why are you laughing?
Because that's dumb.
Come
that's a dumb
on.
Guess. Best-selling movie of 2014
Come
on iTunes.
On.
Don't be dumb. This is the top three. Let's do the top three because we're running out of time.
All right. Top three. Well, why don't you give us 9 through 3 quick?
No, I'll give you number three now. The Lego Movie.
Lego Movie. Okay.
Lego Movie was third.
Oh. Totally makes sense.
Number two was The Wolf of Wall Street.
Sure.
Wolf Never would have guessed
was
that.
Number two. Number one, best-selling movie on iTunes for 2014.
Frozen.
Frozen indeed.
Oh,
well done. Bean Baxter for all the points.
Just thinking about kids, that's
Frozen.
All.
Good guess.
Just thinking about the kids, as he always does. Ooh. Ooh. That Ooh. Panel van of his. The duct tape. Zip ties.
Ooh. Ooh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Judi Dench is 80 years old. John Malkovich turns 61. Felicity Huffman, 52 years old. Singer Jacob Dylan, you know him from The Wallflowers. Son of Bob, he's 45 years old. Trey Cool's 42. And actor Simon Helberg from
that show where they do the
Big Bang Theory. 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bean, are you set? Are you ready for
what happened?
For everything?
It's going to be a ton of rain and high winds in Seattle, Washington. And this storm will also continue on to Wednesday, December the 10th, 2014. People in Seattle, Washington, be prepared.
Are you prepared?
Be prepared.
I'm nervous.
A ton of rain. Puddles on the streets.
Ton
it's going to be very strong winds.
That's going to puddle. Because the wind's going to be loud. Wind's going to be
broken.
Get very strong.
A powerful, low-pressure system.
A ton of rain.
I'm okay so far. I'm keeping an eye on the rivers.
Look out for a ton of rain. It's going to come and it'll blow you away with the high winds.
You should have been here when we were trying to figure out. He said in millimeters how much rain it was going to be. And we were all trying to figure out like how to translate that into inches.
And we think it's an inch.
Yeah, it's an inch rate. It's hardly the storm of the century.
That's a lot of rain.
It's going to move towards northwestern United States.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We always have fears about Bean being creepy. Today, it was Lily Aldridge. He did pretty well.
He was practically creep-free, I'd like to say.
Tomorrow, Mr. Skin's going to join us.
Oh, well, there goes that,
That's
then.
For top 10 TV nudity and then top 10 movie nudity.
It's like one of those signs they have in factories, this many days since we had an accident, you know, and now we're going to go all the way back and put a zero up on the board.
Because he can't help himself.
No, he can't.
Michael Chiklis will be here talking about American Horror Story.
Oh, Chicky Baby.
The lead singer of Fart Metal will be
I'm
on
sorry,
the program. The lead
now?
Singer.
Lead singer
of
Fart
Metal.
I got that much.
Of Fart Metal.
Fart Metal.
Yes.
Is a band.
That guy is going to be joining us.
He works that beehole. Comedian Chris D'Elia, top 10 Bean tweets. And, of course, tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning.